You would advance notice that this is not an easy sugya. So just in case anyone's expecting what kind of practice point, not so simple, but the Torah, he alamba ni Torah, and hopefully we'll see after Shema to try to work out this fundamental yisos to the sugya. So let's just backpedal for a moment, in a couple of days, let's just backpedal for a moment to how we capture the sugya in the first place. We got it from the first of the Mamakomos, but the Gemara was discussing how is it that we trust the one shaliach to say if you really believe that there's a concern that this get wasn't written l'shma, so then we should require to wait him. Echnei b'surin is not going to help us. That's everything we spoke about so much. So what is the solution to the problem in the Torah? How is it that we trust one in? The Torah fell back on the Torah principle of Rov. The odds are that the get was probably written l'shma anyway. Most of the time, the people who write get probably do know what they're doing. And therefore, the concern is not a Torah concern, it's a Rabbanan concern. But the Rabbanan were able to believe in Ein Echad. So the entire trajectory of the sugya is hinging on that one nakuda that we don't have a deraisitika problem. As we said already many times, deraisitika problems require deraisitika solutions. The Rabbanan problems suffice with the Rabbanan solutions. Ein Echad is the Rabbanan solution. The problem by definition must be a derabandika problem. But the Gemara did not stop at that point. The Gemara said, wait a second, that's assuming that you can follow the principle of Rov. What about according to Rabbi Meir? Let's go back, we'll go back to the first of Rabbi Kolos for a second. Rabbi Meir, what about according to Rabbi Meir? According to Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh from Miyut, he is not so quick to one after Rov. Rabbi Meir was the one who said that a little boy, a little girl cannot do Yibum so fast, because we're afraid maybe they're not physically, they're not going to physically develop properly, and that'll be a yibum, shalobim okom mitzvah, islanders, etc. So Rabbi Meir is not so quick to follow Rov. So what would Rabbi Meir have to say about this topic? Which the question is, don't worry about Rabbi Meir. This is such a Rov, that the Rov that the get was written in Shva is so overwhelming, it's so, the numbers are so high, even Rabbi Meir wouldn't be worried about this Rov. That was the shock of that, was the flow of the Gemara. So we pointed out last week that the question of the Gemara of Rabbi Meir, the Chayash Yud, was a little bit shaky because according to many Rishonim, including Tosus, Rabbi Meir was only a Chumah Midrabban and he wasn't a Chumah Midraisa. And therefore, what did the Gemara want? What did the Gemara just say? I feel Rabbi Meir, who Rabbi Meir? Midraisa anyway, it's okay. Even Rabbi Meir subscribes to Rav. So we pointed out a Tosus in Bechoris that says, no, this is much worse because this is a Miyot with a chazok on joining forces. Smoch miyut al chazok. That was the key of last week's shir. Smoch miyut al chazok. That yes, there's a miyut. Most kitten are in fact written properly, but there's a cheskes eshesish. The woman was an eshesish until now. When those two forces joined together, a miyut al chazok, the game's over according to Rameh bin HaTorah. So that was the entire flow of the Gemara. Now, we left Rameh aside for last week. Let's move into the world of the Rabbanah. It is clear as day from this Gemara that only Rabbi Meir was a smoch limut l'chazaka person. The Rabbanan never heard of such a thing. According to the Rabbanan, we follow Rav. Either Zemiyot, we follow Rav. Either Zechazak, we follow Rav. Finished. According to the Rabbanan, Ruba v'chazaka ruba adif, Rav beats everything. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, once we said there's a Rav, the game is over. It's only according to Rabbi Meir that we had to start the tupul and fetch and the whole shtupatera. What do you do? This smoch mit chazaka gaval. According to the Rabbanan, smoch mit chazaka doesn't exist. There's no such concept called smoch mit chazaka. So again, even though in this line and a half of getting the base of a base, the Gemara never even said the word smoch mit chazaka, but we know that's what it meant. As he already told us in Bechoris, there's no other way to read this Gemara. So of course the Gemara meant it. And by identifying Rabbi Meir as being the person who's concerned with it, the Gemara is clearly telling us that the Rabbanan they're not good at that entire passion, the entire sugya called smoke with chazaka. It's not on their radar screen of concern. So that's just simple again. When one half lines with the Gemara, all that we just said is clear as day. But now is where the complications begin. We have another sugya in Shas, tucked away at the end of Yavam. You got to go 119 lines of Yavam to get to the sugya. Come to the realization that what I just said is not so pashut. That smoch mit l'chazaka in the world of the Rabbanan may also exist. And if it exists in the world of the Rabbanan, then the entire flow of the Gemara, the whole text of the Gemara in Gittin Aveis, doesn't read smoothly now. What is that Gemara? So we have to go back to the drawing board to identify a possible application of smoking the Chazaka in the world of the Rabbanan. Once we identify it, then we have to pose the question, if it exists in Yevamos Kuf Yudes, how come it doesn't make it to the radar screen of Gittin Aveis? So we have to first learn the Sukkah and Kuf Yudes Yevamos. One of the issues with everything in Yevamos is that when you want to extract the lumdus, you have to get the cases down first. That's part of the difficulty of the Yevamos. The cases themselves are so complicated. You have to first spend a lot of time figuring out just who's marrying who, who's going where, and then finally try to understand the underpinnings of what the halacha are. So let's take a look at the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. It's a Mishnah at the very end. The last part was Yevamos. The Mishnah begins in the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. Rachel is living here, and Rachel's husband goes on a long, long trip. But we know B'dinas Hayam doesn't mean you go away for a week. B'dinas Hayam means you're going away for months on end. So Rachel's husband went away, and not only did Rachel's husband go away, but there's a co-wife here as well. So Rachel's husband went away with Leah. So the co-wives, her husband and the tzara, went away for years on end. And now Rachel is sitting here, and she gets the following news. Ubova Amrullah. And they told me, we have, so Ubova Amrullah, that now she gets the following report from B'dinas Hayam, Meis Baileich, that her husband died. So the question is, what does she do with that boy? So that person who gave that information is believed, because we know that the person who says that the husband's dead, that's okay, he's believed. But our question is, he's believed not to what extent. To the last of her knowledge, her husband Reuven did not have any children. So if that's the case, then she is presumably Zekuka Libo. If the husband, for some chance, had a child over the last 5 years of being in Israel, then she is not Zekuka Libo. Then she's allowed to marry whoever she wants. But she doesn't know that piece of information. That's the missing piece of information here. There's no WhatsApp group. There's no chats. There's no emails. There's no texts. There's no phone play. She has no idea what's going on in Medina Sayyam for the last couple of years. Did the co-wife have a child or not? So the Mishnah says, Lo tinose v'lo tisyabe. Mishnah says she's mamash in a pickle. She cannot stam remarry just like that. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Why doesn't she just do chalitza? Is that the easiest way out? That's a later discussion after us. But just stam to remarry and say, oh yeah, Ms. Stammer, the husband had a child in the last 5 years. How do you know? Loti knows it. On the other hand, Loti Siyabe, she's not allowed to do Yibam either because our tzad, the husband, didn't have a child in the last couple of years. Then she, if he did have a child, then she's not Zekuka Libam. If she's not Zekuka Libam, then it's a violation of Eishes Ochir Shlom Mokha Mitzvah. So until she finds out more information, she is in a lot of trouble. I should tell you the Shem Ruber Sitzirosa. Until she finds out, because you never know whether the tzad was pregnant or the tzad had a child or not. So that's the definition. So the mission sounds like a pretty straightforward halacha, that she has to play it safe on both sides. We don't know what to do. So if the co-wife had a child, X, come on, didn't have a child, Y, we don't know what to do. So be suffering, she can't do anything. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. So comes the Gemara and asks the question, why is that halacha? Let's take a look at the fifth line in the second of Mamakamas. Loti nasi amai. Why can't she get married? Let it assume that the tzara had a child. Halakha rov nashim. Rov Nashim is Abbas Fiyaldos. Why can she follow our good friend Rov? The odds are that her co-wife, again, that's how old she is. If the car is 95 years old, probably not. If the car, 25-year-old lady went with her husband away for a couple of years, the odds are she probably had a child. Rov Nashim can be Abbas Fiyaldos. And since the Rov dictate that she probably had a child, that means Rachel was left behind, is probably no longer connected to the Yavn anymore. She's not a Chayav, she's not a Zekuka Libam. Let her go get married. I'll smach the Rov. We rely on Rov to eat meat and to drink milk and do everything else in the world. Why can't we let Rachel get married based on the Rov? That's the Gemara's cash. So just to give you a reference point, it takes the Gemara about 30 lines, so it gets to some kind of an answer to that question. So finally, the little dust settles. The Gemara comes up with the following answer. Let's take a look towards the bottom. Elamah Rav, three lines from the bottom. Elamah Rav, he has the answer. This is the answer to the secret, to the riddle, why she can't get married based on the Rav. Reisha chazaka liyibum v'ruba l'shuk. It's true that there's a Rav that she's probably permitted lashuk, which means she can marry straight, she can go ahead and get married, i.e. she could probably assume, most probably based on the robe, that she's permitted to get married. The Kohai Tzar probably had a child. But on the other hand, the chazaka is that she can't get married so fast because last she knew, the Tzar didn't have a baby. So she has a cheskes iser lashuk right now. So the status quo is she's chayev as a nibum, can't marry a stranger. The rov is she probably can marry a stranger. Believe it or not, this is a ruv v'chazaka shayla. This is it. It's the same way we had ruv v'chazakas last week, the kids touching those and touching mice and touching those. This is a perfect example of a rov versus the chazaka. Rov is pointing in the direction that she's mutaris. Chazaka is pointing in the direction she's asura. So he answers chazaka on the ruba. So chazaka on its own merits cannot touch a rov. But I say the uta de mapilos. What do we do? But even though there's a rove that she's muteris, there is still a small percentage that the Tsar did not have a child. Could be the Tsar became pregnant and maybe had a miscarriage. So a miscarriage is not going to count to exempt the heart, exempt Racha from Yibum. So since we don't know that for certain, we have to put all three factors into the mix. Here's what the chart looks like. We have a rove ahead there. We have a chazaka le'isser. And we have a mealtly yisur, because if that mealt is true, that the tzara merely had a miscarriage, so that mealt is going to result in her not being able to remarry. So you have a rove against the chazaka and a mealt. We have a name for that phrase. It's called smoch mealt l'chazaka. That's exactly what that means.
This is
when they become mayor? Well, that's the million-dollar question. That's exactly the point. So we have a smoch mealt l'chazaka over here, and that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Ad kan divrei ha-gemara. It's okay.
Why does it say
we use
it to mapilos? Why
don't they
just say we don't have
it? Oh, so Tzvi is mechavit to a million. Mechavit to the Rashba about 12 mekaris down the line. The Rashba is going to be looked at that line. The Gemara said there's something fishy about that mute in the Gemara. The Rashba is going to take that fishiness and turn the entire Gemara said, but we got a while to go until we get to that Rashba. So the simple pshat of the Gemara is applying the age old principle of smoking. The question is, how does that fit into the world that we know about smoch mit b'chazaka? That's only a Rabbi Meir opinion, not a Rabbanan opinion. So Rashi on the spot says, Hamani Rabbi Meiri. Rashi already was thinking of this question. So Rashi 1,000 years ago anticipated the Morty's question. How could the Gemara say this? So Rashi says, don't worry, don't ask any kashas. According to Rashi, the sugi is over. The sugi is over according to Rashi. It's no Gemara in the test, according to the Rabbanan. How money Rabbi Meir. So a two-fold problem with Rashi's approach. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. The Gemara never says how money Rabbi Meir. It never commits itself to how money Rabbi Meir. We understand where Rashi's coming from, but the text of the Gemara doesn't say it. And to make matters even more difficult, many, many of the Rishonim, including the Rif and onwards, quote this Mishnah, Allah. And the Rif at the end of the Sechaz Yavamos quotes the Mishnah. The Rif only quotes those things that are halacha l'maisa. The Rif quotes this Mishnah, doesn't say no. It's a Stam Mishnah. I mean, I know we say Stam Mishnah with Meiri, that's true. But usually, 99% of the time, Stam Mishnah is halacha, not Stam Mishnah. So if the Rif and the Rishonim are quoting this Mishnah l'halacha, so they clearly did not hold like Rashi. They did not say, oh, this Mishnah, this is Shalaki halacha. Clearly, there's something going on behind the scenes here. There is some reason why in this Mishnah, even the Rabbanan somehow turn around and buy into this idea called Smoch Mit Mechazacha. So now we have a lot of work to do. Unless we're willing to hold on to Rashi and say, this Mishnah doesn't exist, this Gemara doesn't exist, this is Orabi Meir, this is Oshalak Halacha. If you go down the view of the Rif and probably most of the Rishonim, the Mishnah does exist, the Mishnah is a Halacha L'maisa, the Mishnah is even the Rabbanan. So what in the world is the difference between this Sugya, where somehow smoke with the chazaka make it come back, in contrast to getting that vase where the rabbanan don't accept it, and in contrast to the sugi that we spoke about last week, about the baby that touches the dough, the chacham ignored it, the chacham said you follow a rope, there is no such thing called smoke with the chazaka. So what is going on now within the world of smoke with the chazaka? Not Rabbi Meir's world, that was last week's year, within the world for us, halacha l'maaseh, the rabbanan, what happened, when do we or do we not say this principle called smoke with the chazaka? So there is a sugya that appears in Maseches Becharos. We're not going to learn the entire sugya, we're just going to we have to snip the part that we need, which is presented in the Tosfos and the tenth of the Mamre Kamos. The Sugi Mezeches Bechoros, we spoke a little bit about it in the past. And the Gemara is discussing the following phenomenon. We buy an animal from a non-Jew, and we're trying to figure out, female animal, trying to figure out, did this animal ever have a baby before? That's our latest assumption. Why do we care whether it had a baby before? Big enough community. Now, it's now going to have a boy. In 10 months, we're not going to give birth to a boy. So you want to know, do we have a bechor on our hands or not? So that depends on, did it have an animal in the past? So we have no way of knowing. So we bought it from a non-Jew. The non-Jew is not Neman. So what do you do? A suffering bechor, that's not a good position to be in. So the Gemara has the possibility that maybe there's something about the biology of this animal that could point us in one direction. What could point us in the direction is the following. This animal is producing milk. So we have this female animal born from the non-Jew. It's a cow that's producing milk. So simple biology tells us that the same way that people, so a woman doesn't begin to produce milk until she has a baby, because Baruch Hu built into the hormonal system to the cows and the sheep and the goats, the same phenomena, that she's going to probably had a baby already. That's a good thing, because if we can prove that it already had a baby at some time in the past, that's going to exempt us from the chor in the future. The problem is it's not a foolproof, absolute raya bura. It could be, but I imagine, and doctors will probably, I assume, will tell me that it's possible women also, hormones do a lot of funny things. You know, you can have strange things, and theoretically, I imagine, you could have, I don't know, any pediatricians, it could be, it's possible. So the Gemara says it to me, not to count. Anything good, that's the answer, anything's possible. So, there you go, okay, so anything, we don't, but we're not going to, no veterinarians yet, I can say whatever I want. Okay, so the Gemara says it's unlikely. The Gemara says it's very, 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 very unlikely. It's possible that just because it's having milk doesn't necessarily mean that it had a child already. So there's a machlekes atanoim. Are we allowed to rely on this very, very convincing rove of chol of poter or not? So Rabbi Tam claims that you can't rely on the kul of chol of poter. How did Rabbi Tam get that? We got it from a whole complicated sugya in the third Bechamah Sefer B'charos. But the bottom line is, Benetam claims Aloch Lemaisa that Cholav Eino Poter. So let's take a look at the 10th of the Bar Mekamos. So Tosfos quotes Pasuk Rav Benetam, the Cholav Eino Poter. Benetam had a raya that we follow the Machmirim, that just the existence of the milk is not a proof. The problem is, why not? What is the rationale for that? What happened to Rove? So let's skip down to the third line of the Tosfos, the end of the line. Umitokach bedaktik Rav Benetam. The Hochi Hilchasa says Rabbi Tam that this is the final halacha. The Chashina Lemiuta Heicha Diika Chazaka Bahador says Rabbi Tam. This is not just a robe versus a miut. This is a smoch miuta lechazaka. What's the chazaka? Ki Hocha Shibecheska Shelo Yolda. So comes Rabbi Tam and says, when this mother was born, being down in the mother right now, has this mother ever had a baby? When this mother was born a couple of years ago, had it had a baby yet? It's a pretty silly question. Of course not. When it was a day old, it hadn't yet had a baby. When it was a week old, it hadn't yet had a baby. When it was 3 months old, now it's 3 years old. We don't know, has it ever had a baby? So the chazaka is pointing in the direction, this female animal in front of our eyes right now, we know for a fact had not yet had a baby 3 years ago. So the cheskas Shalohaya baby is still there. The miut that some animals could possibly produce milk without having had previous children. Two forces joined together. Smoch miut lechazaka, the isra leruben, it bumps off the robe. So Rabbi Tam saw on this farm, Rabbi Tam sitting on the farm, looking at this mother and say, looking at this female, I shouldn't say mother, that's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Looking at this female and saying, cow, you cow. His name again, Elsie Betsy, whatever. You Betsy, the cow, said, I don't believe that you necessarily had a baby. I think that your boy that's about to be born is going to be a condition before and be softened. You know why? What do you mean? So Betsy said, what do you mean? I have real quick, I've been nursing for the last 6 years. I haven't had a baby. So we say, well, the veterinarians have told us that there's a 5% chance that you may produce milk without having had a baby. So she says to us, 5%? But what about the 95% of my favorites? We say, back to the cow. Because when you were born, you had a cheskes chiyuv of not yet having had a baby. So that cheskes chiyuv joins forces with the miut, Here we go. Smoich miut lechazochas. So Rabbi Tam and the Sheikh Schweitzer looked at this cow and said, "This is not a cow. It's not a cow. This is a smoich miut lechazochas to a cow." And that's going to pose a problem.
There's another rope, though. So, let's say all cows at the age of three give birth.
So the Gemara discusses that. The Gemara discusses that shot in the Sugya Bechor. It starts out with that. Is that true or not? Is that really a robe or not really a robe? That's a loaded question. Is that really part of the robe or not? The Gemara's a discussion just how old is this cow? I made the cow three. What if the cow's one? What if the cow's two? So we got to
sit in the robe.
So we're talking about a case where we don't have that robe.
So the question, though, is the robe on the cow or the robe on the animals? Like, if the robe's on the cow itself, it's fine. But if the robe's on animals, see, so, you know, that species or what the farmer or, you know, the cow or the farms, that would change also
So the Gemara has a whole talk about how old is the cow in question. We're assuming for now, we're working with the assumption that we don't have a robe in terms of age of the cow right now. The best robe we have is the milk robe. So the milk robe has a miut against it. So the miut against it, we would normally ignore around the hatos. We don't follow a miut, but the miut joins forces with the chalava. So we're in a pickle now. So Rabbi Tam Paskin, that the reason why chalav in a poter, the lumdus behind chalav in a poter, is the stating of the following halachic principle. Smeich miut lechazaka.
Is that a real
chazaka? Oh, what's wrong with that chazaka? You tell me. The Rishonim said that chazaka is a shvach chazaka. What's wrong with that? We know for a fact that this female 3 years ago had not yet had a baby.
Same case as that we have with a woman. We know before.
Is that called a shul shtar? It's not the same as the word. A cow may go through life without having a baby. It's not chazaka shul shtar. A woman who has a period, that period is going to end. There's no way in the world this period is going to go on forever. Some cows, I imagine, don't have children at some point. I don't know the shit of crisis in the cow world, but I imagine at some point there's a cow that never baby. So, why you connect portal part two? Okay, well, that was off the record. So comes the Rabbi Tam, and he Rabbi Tam's talking the language that we're used to. He's talking like the Sheh Schweitzer. He's saying, Smeich mit lechazofa. So Rabbi Tam says, wait a second. How can I tell you such a story? That smeich mit lechazaka. Wait a second. What happened to the following? The Afilo Kamla and Kuri Meir says, Rabbi Tam, I keep the Kalabokas as Rabbi Tam. I know that we don't follow smeich mit lechazaka. That's from Meir talking. The Mitar Behid Rov Tinochas Mitabchim. Like the case of the baby and the Isa. Now here, the printer put in Nidiyot Ches. He could have just as easily said Chulin. Or Kedusha Dapet, it's the same sugya appears in three places. So we're used to it from a second Kedusha, it's the same exact sugya. So comes Rabbi Adam and says, how can I tell you the story that the reason why Chalavina played there is because of smoke with Luchazaka? Don't I know that when a baby touches an Isa, so we say that the Isa is Tamei, why? Because most babies are Tamei. Don't I know there's a smoke with Luchazaka over there? Don't I know that Rabbi Meir was retired for that very reason? Because some babies don't touch dead mice. Some babies are a little bit cleaner than others. Some are not necessarily dummy. The Isa was tahora already at a chazaka. So Rabbi Meir said smoke with lechazaka, and the Rabbanan said wrong. The Chab said, no, it's not true. The Rabbanan say, we don't accept smoke with lechazaka. So says Rabbi Tam, he asks on himself, how can I tell you a story, smoke with lechazaka? Don't I realize that the Rabbanan don't say that? Says Rabbi Tam, three words. Lahachmir mia chayshinon. Says Rabbi Tam, when the Rabbanan said we don't say smoke lechazaka, that means we're not going to be makil based on that, because min haTorah you don't say smoke lechazaka, but to be machmir with the Rabbanan, yeah, even we buy into smoke lechazaka. So Rabbi Tam turned the entire sugya on its head, that we the Rabbanan who deny smoke lechazaka, that doesn't mean that. What that means is we deny it as a vehicle of kula. We're not going to say it in a Torah to save the dough, but to make a chumah midrabanan, to not let the woman remarry, or to be machmir, like the case of the milk. Those are lechumras. Lechumra, we accept smachmir lechazaka. So now comes a bit of time and says, if you want to know the answer to the question, what do the different tanoim have to say about smachmir lechazaka? Is that a halachic principle? It's accepted or rejected? Says a bit of time, everybody accepts it. It's only a question to what degree you accept it. Rabbi Meir accepted it min haTorah, and therefore it works bein l'kula bein l'chumra. So it works by the dough, It works against us by the milk. It works against us in Yevamos. It's a deraisa principle. Beilukula beilukula. The Rabbanon did not accept it minatorah. Minatorah, we follow Rove. But with the Rabbanon, even they backpedaled a little bit. It doesn't look right. It looks a little fishy. We have, it's not just the miyut, there's a chazalka. It looks like it's joining forces. People are going to take halacha lightly. People are going to think the rabbis don't know what they're doing. So with the Rabbanon, we have no choice. We have to be machmer based on smoking with the chazalka. Doesn't mean we're going to use a bakula because it doesn't exist. In Moshe Rabbeinu's world, it doesn't exist. But in the world of Maisik Shulchan Aruch, we're going to accept it as a chumah mid Rabbanon. Therefore, what follows from Meir Tam's premise? The milk is not going to help the cow, and the rove noshim sabav siyodos is not going to let the woman remarry. Remember, we asked the question in Yevamos and of course you test, why don't we let the woman remarry? There's a rove, so the Gemara gave the answer. Well, there's a mir and a chazaka, so we're scratching our heads. So what? We're Rabbanan people. Rash said you're a tacharat. According to Rabbanan, it's mutter, but none of the other Rishonim say that. According to Benetam, everything makes perfect sense. According to Benetam, the Gemara in Bukharis is a chumad Rabbanan, the Gemara in Yavam is a chumad Rabbanan, everything is a chumad Rabbanan. We, halach lamai, so what do we hold? In the Torah, it's okay. In the Rabbanan, it's a problem. Therefore, the chumra, it's going to pose a problem. So now, with that knowledge of Rabbeinu Tam, let's go back to Gittin and Abbeis. We're learning all these sugyas, just to understand that. Go back to the Gemara again for the sixth time. First in the Maimon Kavos. The Gemara said, how do we accept the Edechon? We accept the Erecha because we're not totally we solved the problem with the Rove. Yes, the Gemara of Afil Rabbi Meir, the Chayish, the Miyut, what about Rabbi Meir, who's Chashish from Miyut? So Tysus was quick to point out, it doesn't really mean Miyut, it means Smoch Mut L'Chazacha. So according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Smoch Mut L'Chazacha, you have a deraisa, a problem on your hands. How can you believe the Erecha? Which the Gemara said, this Rove is so overwhelming, so powerful, even Rabbi Meir buys into it. We're going to hopefully figure out what makes this Rove better than the other Rove. That's another time, it's the end of the sugya. But the flow of the Gemara was very simple. According to Rabbi Meir, we have a deraisa problem. Deraisa problems require deraisa solutions, i.e. to aid them, what's going on. But within those lines of the Gemara is, according to the Rabbanan, he's hunky dory, he's great. According to the Rabbanan, we have no problem. According to Rabbi Tam, it's not that we have no problem according to the Rabbanan. We have a problem according to the Rabbanan also. We have a smoke chazaka problem according to the Rabbanan because we have a miyot and a cheskadishish. But here's the punchline according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbanan's version of smoke mitl chazaka exists in the world of chachamim, the world of the Rabbanan. It's a chumrah mit the Rabbanan, which usually we would say. But remember, the Rabbanan dika problems have the Rabbanan dika solutions. So the Gemara realized right away when the Gemara said a few Rabbeinu the chayish tamita, the Gemara never meant to say according to the chumrah not chayish tamita. The Gemara meant, according to the Chachamim, we're only chayshesh on the level of the Rabbanan the Chumra. If it's only a Chumim and the Rabbanan, then the Rabbanan took a solution of the Shliach. The Neman works. Because Erech and every Surah works. The Shliach is Neman for the Rabbanan took a problems. So that's the in between the lines. According to Rabbeinu Tam said Shia, Rabbeinu Tam got to this line. Rafil Rameh the Chayesh the Muta. Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't mean that according to Chachamim there's nothing to talk about. There's plenty to talk about according to the Chachamim, but the whole discussion is only on a Chumrah D'Rabbanan level. On a Chumrah D'Rabbanan level, Erech is believed. The reason why the Gemara got nervous was that Afilu Rabbi Meir D'Chayish, you have to like put words in, Afilu Rabbi Meir D'Chayish Miyuta, in parentheses, mid the Araisa, because this is a Smoch Mitl Chazaka, according to Rabbi Meir, and the parentheses, what do you do? The Gemara says, this robe is better than your average robe. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, everything is Abakobi of Mishol. All the Gemara's make perfect sense. The Gemara in Gittin reads like a charm. The Gemara in Bechairis reads like a charm. The Gemara in Yevamos reads like a charm. Everything is perfect. But the final answer is, do we, the Chachamim, accept Smoch Mil Chazaka? The answer is, Mid Rabbanan Mechumra, yes. Me'ikir Hadin, no. And where did Rabbeinu Tam get it from? He got it from one cow. He got it from one cow that's producing milk. Because Rabbeinu Tam said, what's with this cow story? Why do we pass in halacha chalav bin a poiter? It doesn't make any sense. So the only solution to the problem was smoking the chazaka. And because Rabbeinu Tam solved the cow dilemma in Bukharas, he was able to use that in Gittin, and able to use that in Yevamos, everything in Shalma Yisrael. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Which we have to go to Shach was feeling so good about Rabbeinu Tam Shita. I'll just show you quickly the Rosh's ha'ara against Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh turns to Rabbeinu Tam. A few generations after Rabbeinu Tam, so wait a second. Let's make this cheshbon again. Smoch miyut l'chazaka. Steve was bothered a little bit with this chazaka. That's I was trying to draw out of you what the Rosh's problem with the chazaka is. Says the Rosh, when we're passing a shayla in the choros, who are we passing on? I care about the mother. I care about the baby that's going to be born. When this baby is about to be born, now a boy, a little boy calf comes out now, and we have a latest asafik, no pun intended, a latest asafik. We want to know, is this baby Kaddish or Bechor or not? The Shaila revolves around the baby. You know, the mother is past history. We have to figure out the mother because that's how you figure out the yichus of the baby. But the latest asafik in the world of Sheshmais, in the world of Halach, the Shaila is of the baby. Does the baby have a chazaka, l'chumra, l'kula? When the baby was inside in utero, it was not Bechor. It only gets Kaddish Bechor after later, Peter Rechem. So Fakir says the Rosh, this is not a smoke mut l'chazaka. This is a rove against the miyut, and the chazaka is forget, it's on our side. That here we have the chazaka is saying this animal called the calf that was now just came out of its mother's womb an hour ago when it was in utero did not have kedusha to it because no animal, even a real firstborn, doesn't have kedusha until it's born. So the chazaka, if anything, is the other direction. If there's a chazaka playing out here, it's not working against you, it's working for you. So says the Rosh, it's a nice tickle tire about smoking chazaka, but it's not relevant over here, the most important case. So if the Rosh is right, that the entire thrust of the case of Betsy the cow is not an example of smoking of the chazaka, it's hard to build a whole tower based on that. The whole tickle tire in Yavam Skufi test, the whole Gabar Gitna base is all working with the assumption that the cow case is a smoking with the chazaka against you. The Rosh says, not true. It's a rove and a chazaka both working in your favor. So we're going to put the Rosh in the back burner. We're going to stick to a bit of time. There's a bit of time. I guess I popped the balloon a little bit. The Rosh popped his balloon. So we still have a bit of time to work with. But by side, the sugya is not over yet. There's more to that meets the eye in terms of the sugya of smoking with chazaka. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Friday. Let's go back to the drawing board. Go back to the Gemara in the second Yavamos, because that's where the whole thing started. And go back to the Gemara and get into the seventh time to try to figure out what other options we have available to make sense of this one cryptic line. Yeah. I kept my word. I said it was not an easy circuit. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Want to think about it?